Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5. Also the host of the Football Function Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on April 30th, 2021. And just being completely transparent here, I do want to go ahead and apologize to you guys beforehand, before this podcast really even gets started, just because this probably is going to be a faster podcast. It's not going to be as long as it normally is, and that is 100% schedule related. It's just been a pretty hectic 3 days. Like I just mentioned, I do have a pretty new football podcast, and this is, as some of you may know already, the NFL draft season. We're actually dead set in the middle of it. Well, as I'm recording this, it's Friday night. It's actually midnight, 12:30 to be specific. But yesterday, Thursday, was day one. Today's day two, and tomorrow is day three. So it's kind of like a little mini WrestleMania weekend. You know, it's kind of really hectic as far as, you know, having to watch the draft each day. It's about 4 hours each time you do it, as well as watch SmackDown tonight. And then, of course, my real job, you know, my full-time job that I do on a day-to-day basis. So it's definitely been a rough 3 days. So if y'all just bear with me this week only, this isn't going to be a regular thing. I mean, the NFL draft only comes around once a year. And I knew all along, for at least the past couple weeks, I was kind of wondering how this was going to work out, knowing that Friday night was going to kind of interfere with the SmackDown review. And up until yesterday, I thought about kind of messaging Matt and just asking him, hey, is there any way I can maybe do it on Saturday morning or just a little bit later, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go ahead and see if it was possible to get it out tonight. So that's kind of what I'm going to do. It is going to be maybe just a little bit of a quicker version, but worry not. You guys know that Matt, of course, will be doing the weekend review this weekend. So you guys will get more opinions and maybe even a more in-depth version of how SmackDown went. But don't worry, I'm definitely going to still give you a full detailed review for how SmackDown went. And speaking of SmackDown, this one was extremely fast. Like, I know I've been saying that lately a lot, but, I mean, it's true. These episodes have been flying by. And just specifically tonight's episode, and I wrote it down here in my notes, these guys, Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, they started their match, or they got introduced at 8:17 Central Time, of course. SmackDown starts at 7 o'clock where I'm from. So 8:17 Central Time is whenever Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan were getting introduced, and obviously they had pretty long introductions as well as a commercial break in between that, so they didn't really get started until 8:25, but their match didn't end until roughly 8:55. These dudes fought for nearly 30 minutes, so I mean, and I was surprised, because they introduced it. We're about to introduce our main event for the Universal Championship, and I was like, it's only 8:17, what the hell is going to happen here? I was expecting maybe, I mean, Cesaro does come out, you know, just kind of go ahead and give him that away. I'm sure you guys already know him. We'll eventually get to that point in the episode. But I was definitely expecting, I didn't expect the match to take up the rest of the show, and it did. So definitely kudos to them for putting on a hell of a match. And like I just mentioned, we will definitely cover that whenever we get there. But it was basically, it's my way of saying that this was a fast episode. Because, I mean, whenever you have one single match take up literally nearly half the show, I mean, it's crazy. You don't really have a lot of other time slots that you can really, you know, do a lot of other things. There's really only a couple other matches on the show tonight. I think there's actually three more, actually, because there was an Intercontinental Championship match, a six-man tag match to start the show, and then a women's tag team match. So definitely, this was a good episode of SmackDown, I will say that. There was a lot of backstage stuff as well. A lot of people, for some reason, wanted to give their prediction for the main event match for the Universal Championship tonight. There were several wrestlers, and actually a pretty random group of wrestlers, I will say that. They were from Raw, from SmackDown, just people were all, or people from all shows, and maybe even people retired. I think Booker T actually had an opinion as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of different people who felt like they needed to tell you who they thought was going to win the match. And, of course, it was kind of split down the middle. They want to get you excited and tell you why this person can win and another person telling you why the other wrestler can win. So it's, I mean, you've seen them do this type of thing before, but they definitely did today. And there was a lot of other backstage segments with Caleb Braxton as well. So I guess without any further ado, we can go ahead and bust right in here to this SmackDown review. And this one actually started with Bianca Belair coming out to the ring. She opens the show and she starts to try to introduce the Street Profits for their six-man intergender tag match. And before she can do that, she's interrupted by Ziggler and Rude. And they're eventually, pretty quickly actually, interrupted by the Street Profits, who are very quickly interrupted themselves by Bayley. And then Bayley comes to the ring. She grabs the mic out of Bianca Belair's hand and then starts to laugh out loud right in Bianca's face, causing Bianca to react and then eventually smack her right in the face. And then Bayley retaliates by taking Bianca to the ground, and that causes a brawl. And then they go to commercial break. We come back and we get the six-man tag match, of course, intergender that is. And I will say that this match, I mean, compared to the other matches, I mean, this one seemed like it flew by. It was only like 8 minutes, so there really wasn't much to it. The only thing I really took from it is that I'm pretty sure that eventually the Street Profits are about to get these tag team championships back. That's kind of what I took from it. I mean, for every week now, the past few weeks, they're getting the upper hand, at least, or at least they're looking strong against it. Whether it's in a promo and they're the ones who make the Dirty Dogs look stupid, or whether it's like in the ring like this when they end up getting the win, I feel like slowly but surely, the Street Profits are working their way back into that title or tag team title picture. I mean, obviously they've been fighting the champions for the past few weeks, like I just said, but they're building a case to actually get an opportunity, and that's probably what's going to happen between now and WrestleMania Backlash, although there are some other teams who are interested in the tag team championships, notably the Mysterios, who have an interview a little bit later as well. But keeping things here on this match, Rude, he actually gets smacked in the midsection with Bianca's hair, and then he gets a spine buster from Angelo Dawkins, who sets Rude up for Montez Ford to hit his splash from the heavens to pick up the win. So he got a little bit of every member of that team, and they ended up getting the win. So like I said, that kind of catapults the Street Profits into that number one contender spot. If I were to guess, that's probably how it would go. But moving on here, we get a backstage interview with Daniel Bryan and Caleb Braxton. And she asked Daniel how the stipulations for tonight's match affect his preparation. And Daniel says that the pressure really isn't on him, it's on Roman. And then he says that he's confident in the match tonight because he's already made Roman Reigns tap out. And then he adds that if he wins the championship tonight, he is going to give Cesaro his opportunity that he definitely deserves. And that does kind of play out a little bit later in the show. They do touch on that a little bit more, even Cesaro does as well. He kind of comments on it. But this is kind of where the prediction starts. Seth Rollins is actually first up, and he had some creepy music in the background while he was making this prediction, and I thought that it was strictly for Seth Rollins, but they actually used this music for basically everybody, so I guess it was just trying to make the match seem more interesting. I guess I really don't know what the point was for the music in the background, but they did that, so whatever. But anyways, Seth picks Cesaro, he picks Daniel Bryan. I don't know why I said Cesaro. I guess it's because he eventually mentions Cesaro in his little promo here, but he picks Daniel Bryan, surprisingly, to beat Roman Reigns. But he says after that Cesaro isn't going to get that opportunity that Daniel Bryan promised him because he won't make it past next week. And then they go ahead and advertise that Seth Rollins and Cesaro are going to have a match next week on SmackDown, which is going to be a throwback episode of SmackDown, I guess. They actually showed the old school logo, and hopefully, I saw a picture of it online, and there's already been a little bit of speculation, even by the WWE on Fox Twitter handle, that they might bring back the SmackDown fist from the stage, and I would be extremely excited about that. You guys know how much I love the Ruthless Aggression era, so if they were to bring back that SmackDown stage, I feel like that would be, I mean, they might as well just bring it back and leave it. I feel like that's just a part of SmackDown. It would just add a nice little touch there. But like I said, Seth Rollins picks Cesaro, or I almost did that again. He picks Daniel Bryan to win tonight's match, and then he says that Cesaro isn't going to win next week whenever they fight, so moving on here to the tag team women's picture. And Shayna, Nia, and Reggie are actually attacked backstage by Natty and Tamina before their match that takes place next. And during their match, this one really wasn't too exciting, honestly. I mean, I will say that Tamina actually did pretty good, and I'll get to that here in just a little bit. But Shayna, one thing I wrote down here in this one is that she connected on a pretty brutal knee shot to the face on Tamina. She was in the corner, and they actually replayed it, and I thought it looked bad in real time, but whenever they showed the replay, I was like, oh man, she really did connect there. But so shout out to Tamina for taking that shot like a champ and finishing the match, because surprisingly, Tamina actually carried this match for her team, and I feel like that was, you know, on purpose. They definitely wanted to give her that shine, but I real quick, Tamina did end up beating Shayna Baszler after hitting the Superfly Splash off the top rope, but I asked myself during this match, am I coming around on this team? Just strictly because, I mean, like I said, that they had a good match, and I do think that this was Tamina's best performance. I mean, and you guys know how I feel about her. I'm not going to backtrack saying that I think she's all the, this all of a sudden some great wrestler, and she's polished and this and that. I mean, you guys know how I feel, and I've basically said all I can say about that. But I will say, I mean, being just completely objective here, I thought that Tamina did good tonight. So I do think that maybe, and she didn't blow me away, I'm not saying that, but I mean, she did. She had a match where I felt like, all right, that's what I like to see. I'm seeing improvement. That's the most important part. I'm actually seeing her take advantage of this opportunity and this exposure that she's getting week in and week out with Natalya. And maybe Natalya is actually rubbing off on her a little bit, because I do think that Tamina is starting to show some improvement. And that's pretty important. And they do get the win here. They've beaten the SmackDown women. I did see a stat today that it's been like 6 times that these two tag teams, whether it's been a singles match between various opponents or just actual tag team matches, like 6 weeks in a row, these two have been involved with each other. So, I mean, definitely they need to do something here. Either give them another shot for the tag team title so they can lose or win or whatever. But let's get the Riot Squad involved here. I'm tired of seeing them just kept off TV so we could see the same two women's tag teams fight every single week. I mean, switch it up a little bit. Let's get the Riot Squad in there and see if they can maybe insert themselves into this women's tag team championship picture. We do get a couple more predictions here, though, before we move on in the show. This one is from Booker T. He predicts Roman Reigns to win the match. And then the next one is Shinsuke Nakamura, who obviously predicts Daniel Bryan to win the match, except he adds a little touch to his prediction at the end. He looks at the camera and basically just says, if Roman Reigns wins, that he'll be waiting. And I love that, honestly. If Roman Reigns can go from Cesaro to Shinsuke Nakamura, I think that would be... That'd be a way to get him literally all the way through SummerSlam heading into Survivor Series, because you can really milk those feuds. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura are both, you know, more than capable of being worthy opponents for Roman Reigns. And I feel like you can get a lot from those storylines, maybe more Cesaro than you could from Shinsuke Nakamura, just given that they've kind of already started to scratch the surface on Cesaro, and you can kind of see where they're leaning on as far as the angle, given that he doesn't feel like Cesaro's worthy of getting a championship opportunity, so he's really not going to give it to him just flat out. He's going to have to earn it, however that is, and that's just basically kind of what they're leaning on here with Cesaro. I'm not sure what they would do with Shinsuke Nakamura if he got that next opportunity, but I'm sure they'd do something. I mean, they're already kind of leaning towards just... people are starting to look at Roman Reigns like that bully, and you can kind of tell just everybody is eventually kind of just starting to get tired of it on the roster, or at least that's kind of what they're like, what they're portraying on camera. At least that's what I got with Shinsuke Nakamura tonight. Just, he's had it with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman and Jey Uso, and if he gets a chance, he's definitely going to try to take that championship away from Roman Reigns. But moving on here to another backstage interview, this time it's Kayla Braxton with the Mysterios, and then she brings up the possibility of them becoming tag team championship, or them becoming tag team champions, the first ever father and son tag team champions. Michael Cole actually mentioned that'd be the first time ever in WWE, so you know what's gonna happen. That's another thing that kind of confuses me. I brought this up a little bit earlier whenever I mentioned the Mysterios, or whenever I was talking about the tag teams, is that the Street Profits, in my opinion, seem like they're the next team in line to not only have an opportunity, but actually take those championships away from the Dirty Dogs. But they're kind of keeping the Mysterios in the back of your head here, so you can't forget about them. And somehow, some way, you know that they're going to find their way into this and ultimately probably win. I mean, they're not telling this whole first time in WWE history for nothing. You think they're going to put that in your head and not do it? They're probably never going to have this opportunity again, at least for a long time. I mean, how often do you get somebody who is capable enough to continue being a WWE superstar while his son is in the WWE? I mean, you have to be a physical specimen, one of one, pretty much, because I mean, it does not happen these days, maybe even ever. I mean, just being completely honest, I don't know if that's ever happened, just as far as both people being active wrestlers on the roster. That's crazy to actually think that that's a thing that's happening right now. They might actually win the tag team champions, or the tag team championships, sorry guys, like I already said, it's freaking late here, so I am trying to get through this. Up next, we get Aleister Black, and he reads another chapter from The Tales from the Dark Father, and this one's called Reality, and he kind of starts talking about, like, a kid going through high school, maybe trying to relate a little bit more to his early days. And I know he actually referenced his father and obviously Tales from the Dark Father. So, I mean, I definitely think they're starting to touch a little bit more on this. I didn't get to pay as close of attention as I would have liked to. Like I said, it was a freaking busy night. So this is something I'm definitely going to have to go back and rewatch. I'm probably going to rewatch last week's too, just to actually focus more on what exactly Aleister Black is trying to say. But I do think he's getting, just literally from last week to this week, and from what I did notice from what I watched of this segment, is he's starting to, at least from what I can tell, I mean, and he's a pro's pro, so he would probably make almost any gimmick work. But I do feel like, okay, maybe he's gonna do something with this. Like, I feel like, and I could be completely wrong here, just with his words, I feel like he might have been a little bit more articulate and a little bit more elaborate, if that's the right word to use there, as far as like what he was more clear with what he was trying to say, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, even though I didn't really watch it. That's just what I picked up from him. So I'm sure if I were to actually, you know, sit down and really focus on this segment by itself, I'd probably pick up a lot of what he was trying to say, and I definitely need to do that for sure. But up next, we get another pick. We get two, actually, both from from members of the New Day, and they split. Xavier Woods picks Daniel Bryan. Kofi Kingston picks Roman Reigns. So that's their way of letting you know that this really could go in either way. I mean, the current or the former tag team champions over on Raw can't even agree on who they think is going to win this match. So as far as WWE is concerned, they were trying to make you believe that this match could literally go either way. Moving on here, we get the Intercontinental Championship match between Big E and Apollo Crews. And this was a back-and-forth match. It lasted about 13 minutes before Big E hit the big ending on Apollo Crews and was seemingly about to win his Intercontinental Championship back. But Commander Aziz pulled him out of the ring and attacks him, causing a disqualification. And then Kevin Owens runs out to basically even the odds a little bit, get a little bit of revenge on Commander Aziz himself. So he starts to attack Aziz and Apollo, eventually get some help from Big E, and they start to brawl. And as Kevin Owens and Big E were finally getting the upper hand, Sami Zayn comes out of nowhere and then hits a haluva kick on Kevin Owens, basically ending that, stopping it in its tracks, because then Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz were able to basically just get back in control, put a beating on Kevin Owens, and then eventually, as this was over, Sami Zayn grabs the Intercontinental Championship and then takes his sweet time handing it to Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews doesn't like that. Him and Commander Aziz both get kind of upset that Sami Zayn was even holding it, and then Apollo had to say multiple times, "Give me back my title." And then Sami basically tries to save face a little bit and hold up, or he tries to just make the situation a little bit less awkward, to say the least, I guess. But he tries to hold up both of their hands in victory, Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. But he leaves Commander Aziz's right hand free, and then he eventually, as you would expect, hits the Nigerian nail, and Sami Zayn gets just basically knocked out. I mean, not knocked out. I don't know what that move would do. I'm not sure if he hits you in the neck, so if you're down there just gasping for air, it looked like that's what Sami Zayn was doing. Or if he just gets you in the side of the head, just making it a very intense shot that is likely going to put you out for the count. So either way, they're trying to put that move over, and Big E and Kevin Owens were both having a hard time, even 2-on-1, taking down Commander Aziz. If it wasn't for Sami Zayn coming out there, I mean, I'm really not sure what was going to happen. They were finally starting to get the upper hand, but Commander Aziz was fighting them off pretty well, so I was thinking, oh man, they're really trying to make this dude look like a badass here. So it looks like that's what they're going to do with Commander Aziz. They're going to make him SmackDown's version of Braun Strowman, or at least try to. They're going to try to have that fear factor, you know, just make us be scared that this is the giant over here and nobody's going to have a chance to beat Apollo Crews as long as he's around. And I'm not sure if I believe that. I mean, I'm not too high on Commander Aziz yet. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I think his outfit needs work. He's too tall to just wear a little jacket like that. I mean, give him an outfit that fits his size, you know, like make him look more scary. Right now, he just looks like a guy wearing a jacket that's supposed to be like for a 15-year-old boy. So I don't really know what I'm supposed to think about Commander Aziz right now. But I'm going to give it some time. I'm going to see if maybe he can get a little bit more comfortable himself in this role. And then, you know, just go from there. Because I do think he's going to be sticking around. I don't think they're going to throw this Apollo Crews gimmick away anytime soon. And I do think that Commander Aziz does add something to Apollo Crews. So I'm fine with it. I do just want to see a little bit of improvement all around, from his gear to his performance, maybe even get a little bit of mic time just to hear a little bit about him and why he's helping Apollo Crews. Because, I mean, apparently he came out of nowhere. So I want to know where he came from and why he decided to help Apollo Crews. But Moving on here, we get a couple more picks for the match. First one's The Miz, and of course he's going to pick Roman Reigns to win, given that him and Daniel Bryan have never really been that friendly to each other. Cesaro makes his pick next, and then he picks Daniel Bryan to win. But then he says after Daniel Bryan wins, he and Cesaro are going to have a match at Backlash for the Universal Championship. And I don't really know if that's going to happen, given what happens at the main event. So Daniel Bryan might not be holding that Universal Championship at all, ever in his career, because apparently he is off of SmackDown, given what happens here a little bit later in the night. But up next, we get a damn good promo here from Paul Heyman. I will say, if there's anything that you go back and watch, if you haven't watched anything from SmackDown, go back and watch this Paul Heyman promo that he cuts with Caleb Braxton backstage, because it's intense. And he says that he's tired of hearing the name Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan should have never been broken into this business. And then he admits, he starts kind of, you know, hyping up Daniel Bryan, kind of similar to what he did to Cesaro a few weeks ago. He says that he'll admit that Daniel Bryan has put together a Hall of Fame career, and he always defies the odds, and he's made an impressive comeback, one of the most impressive comebacks from injury in WWE history. And he continues to praise Daniel Bryan for numerous other things before eventually just saying that none of that really matters, because he's not going to win the championship tonight, and then he will never be allowed on SmackDown again after tonight. So, and man, I wonder what they're going to do here, because how the night ends, it kind of sets it up like Daniel Bryan might be taking some time off, and I'm not really sure what that leads to, because he's already said this might be his last run in WWE, so what's the time off for? Like, I don't know. We'll get there here in just a little bit, but that's just definitely something to think about here, if Daniel Bryan really is. And I was kind of thinking about that towards the end of the match, whenever it was going on. I was like, man, is this the end of Daniel Bryan here? Like, are we witnessing that? But I don't know. Nonetheless, I guess we'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if he just shows up on Raw here in a few weeks. But before I, you know, completely sign off here, we'll go ahead and talk about this main event. Like I said, they got introduced with 43 minutes left on the show. I know that's real time. Commercials are included and a lot of other stuff as well. But still, I mean, I cannot remember the last time I saw an advertised main event get introduced that early. I think even getting introduced around like 8:30 is pretty early, because that's like, man, that's 30 minutes. So you add an extra 15 minutes on that, and I am completely surprised that that's what they did. And then they also debuted Roman Reigns' a brand new theme song here. I definitely wanted to touch on that. It's going to take a little bit to get used to. I mean, like you guys all know, Roman Reigns has always had the same theme song for God knows how long. And I do like this one. I mean, it's catchy. It's going to take a little bit, like I just said, for me to actually, you know, remember. Because I don't even remember what it sounded like right now. I just remember as it was going on, I was thinking, all right, I can get used to this, but it's definitely going to take a little bit. So I'll have to go back and re-listen to that. But I do think that it is ultimately a good theme song, and he needed a new one. So I am glad that they went ahead and did that, because, I mean, that's pretty much the only thing that was connecting him to his old character. Now he's pretty much all the way a new guy, 100%, a new look, a new attitude, just a new version of himself completely, and now a new theme song. So it's definitely, you know, the full package. Roman Reigns is completely just fresh coat of paint, 100%. That's exactly what he needed. But moving on here about the match, one more note here. No Jey Uso. He wasn't in the match at the beginning, that is. I mean, he does make an appearance late, but I wrote that down here in my notes that he didn't come to the ring with Roman Reigns. So I thought, all right, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, they got all this time left on the show. They're going to give us a hell of a match. And that's pretty much what it did. I mean, it was definitely extremely long, slow-paced. Daniel Bryan escapes from a guillotine and then puts Roman Reigns in the Yes Lock, who eventually escapes from that the Yes Lock as well. So they were kind of reversing each other's submission moves for a little bit there. But not for every submission they were not able to break out of, just strictly because Roman Reigns locks in the guillotine one last time. And he locks it in good. He actually has to do it with his left hand. They made sure to point that out. He wasn't able to do it with his strong hand because of Daniel Bryan's ability to escape. He locked it in. And once you saw his legs wrap around Daniel Bryan's waist, you know that it was only a matter of time. And that is what happened. Daniel Bryan passed out. And the referee rang the bell. And that is it. After nearly a 30-minute match, Daniel Bryan is officially banned from SmackDown. He is not the Universal Champion. And he probably won't get another opportunity at that championship for the rest of his career. I mean, if I was a betting man, I would expect this is the last that Daniel Bryan's going to get a shot at that title. He probably has, I'd say, maybe like, I don't know, like a 10% chance of getting a shot at the WWE Championship, although I don't think he's going to win it. But I do think he might have a shot at some point before he's officially done. He has another chance to go for that belt, but I don't think he's going to get another shot here at Roman Reigns, just because, I mean, he's had enough. He's had enough shots. He never really earned or deserved any of them. So the fact that he has gotten this many just speaks volumes for how popular Daniel Bryan is and how the fans, although there are some that complain about it, for the most part, they don't mind seeing Daniel Bryan involved. And I hope they enjoyed it, because if everything goes as planned, or at least according to the angle that they're running there, Daniel Bryan might be out of the picture for a little bit, because after this match, Roman Reigns tries to hit the concerto on Daniel Bryan, but very fastly, Cesaro runs out to the ring, and he starts to attack Roman Reigns. And that's whenever Jey Uso finally comes out and makes his first appearance of the night, and he ends up saving Roman Reigns. He saves Roman Reigns from getting a pretty bad beating. It looked like Cesaro was not playing around, and if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that Cesaro's really gotten to get his hands on Roman Reigns since all this thing started. At least that's what it seemed like to me. It felt like for the first time in a while that Cesaro has gotten to get his hands on Roman Reigns. And if I'm wrong, go ahead and tell me about that, because I am curious now. But anyways, they do eventually, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, that is, they kind of tie Cesaro's hands up in the ring ropes, and they force him to watch Roman Reigns actually successfully hit that concerto on Daniel Bryan. And that's how SmackDown goes off the air. So they want you to know that Daniel Bryan is definitely effed up, to say the least. He got hit with that concerto. And that's what put Edge out for a pretty long time, at least in storyline code, I guess you can say. It took him out for a long time whenever Randy Orton hit the concerto on Edge. So that could be what they're doing, just to try to get Daniel Bryan off TV for a while. But like I said, I mean, if this is his last run, what's the break for? I mean, just go all out. But it's not my decision. I have no idea what's going on with Daniel Bryan. There could be things going on behind the scenes that's forcing him to do this. I have no idea. So just from afar, I don't really get the logic behind taking another break, unless you do, in fact, go to Raw, in the coming weeks, whenever that superstar shakeup supposedly is supposed to be happening. But all in all, this was a fast episode of SmackDown. They are going by faster and faster every week, it seems like, man. And this one was no different at all. Like I alluded to a little bit earlier, and just now whenever I covered it, that main event was a huge part of the show. So if they continue to do that, where they have a match take up over 30 minutes every week, that's over 1/4 of the show. So it's, I mean, there's not really a whole lot, but I don't know. I like what SmackDown's got going on for the most part. You can tell they're continuing their feuds. I'm interested to see how it goes after WrestleMania Backlash, just to kind of see whenever they officially turn the page from those WrestleMania feuds, what direction some of these guys go, and especially the championships. I'm kind of curious about that Intercontinental Championship. It seems like maybe Sami Zayn might be peeking his head in that picture a little bit. And then when you look at the Universal Championship, you already have Cesaro, you have Daniel Bryan, who just lost, but Shinsuke Nakamura kind of, you know, introduced himself a little bit today into that picture. And then Seth Rollins. I mean, I know that's kind of a little bit of a wild card here, or a dark horse, but I mean, he mentioned Roman Reigns today on the show. That's the first time he actually really mentioned him, and just basically said, given how much or how long I've known Roman Reigns, it's kind of crazy that I'm picking Daniel Bryan. So maybe him picking Daniel Bryan might come back up, but I don't know. I've kind of thought that a lot here with Roman Reigns, thinking that they might tie back on some of these things that have been said about him over the past few weeks, but they really haven't. So that could be another thing that just goes completely under the radar. But anyways, that's the show, guys. Like I said, I'm sorry that it wasn't as long as what it normally is. I definitely don't like having short episodes, but at the same time, you know, it's almost 30 minutes, so I didn't make it too short, but I wanted to for sure get an episode here for you guys before the weekend starts and before I officially end this whole draft season and my schedule cools down a little bit as far as podcasting goes, because this is definitely time consuming as far as making multiple shows a week. I know Matt knows all about that, especially whenever you're new at it, kind of like I am, especially with my own show. It's definitely a lot to take in and a lot on your plate. But once again, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. If you're a first time listener, thank you for choosing this podcast. If you're a regular listener, thank you for making this part of your weekly routine, and I hope you will continue to do so. Like I just said, guys, I hope you all have a great weekend. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.